Okay, so this is the actual algorithm that I want you to work on in the second lab. And it's based on three ideas that we more or less have discussed in the past hour. The first one is that connectivity analysis can be carried out segment-wise instead of purely pixel-wise. Okay? That, of course, has the effect that it's going to be much more efficient because when I do run length, I will already obtain all of the pixels that belong to the same segments. So I will decide for all of these pixels, I will decide connectivity in the same step. Okay? So that is one thing that this algorithm has in mind. The other one is that to do this analysis, I only need to look at two rows in the image at every moment. I don't need to, if I do the recursive algorithm, then I'm going all around, potentially, all around the image all the time to see if I can label new neighbors of each pixel. In this case, I only have to look at two rows of the image every time. Potentially, I wouldn't need to load all the image in memory to do this analysis, and that was used to be a big advantage of this algorithm before. There's another important fact is which is useful in this case, and it's the following. If you already processed one segment in a prior row, if you don't update it in the row for a whole row, then that means that the object to which it belongs to is going to be closed, never updated anymore. If I have a group of objects that I'm still deciding whether they have new segments, whenever for a certain object I never update the number of segments for a whole row, I will never touch it again. So I can completely close it at that moment. Okay? So that means that, for example, if I'm computing the area, I already at that moment know the full area of the object, which is something also useful. And then in a similar fashion to before, the cases of connectivity are only reduced to three, which are these three. So if this is the object, the segment that I'm processing, and there's only this segment in the row before, then it's a new object. Okay, so I use a new label. If this is my segment and it touches one segment of the prior row, then it's the same object. So I copy the label. And the last thing that can happen is that this segment touches more than one segment from the prior row, and they may be, up to now, considered different objects. If this is the case, then I have to say all of these segments and their objects really are one. Okay, so new object, same object, object fusion. Those are the only three cases that I have to that I would consider in this algorithm. And these three ideas basically summarize what I'm going to do here. So this is a simple example of what the results should be. And let me go through it in some detail. As I said in the last hour, we will not process the original image. So the first thing that you have to do is take the binary image and compute the run length coding. That's the first part of this lab. And what we want to generate is a sequence, I think in the implementation, it's an array actually, an array of segments which contain information related to the segments that you find in the binary image. So of this run length coding, I will for every record store information related, in this case, to segment number 0, and this is the information that I store. I store in which segment, in which row I find it, which would be row 1 for this case. Initial column would be initial column 2. Length would be 2 in this case. Beginning would be 2 again, column 2. And then final would be the last pixel of the segment, which in this case would be 3. So there is redundancy between length and final. I could do with without one of them, but we use them both in any case. Okay? So run length has to process this image, and for every segment that it finds, store in this structure all of this information. The first, the row, initial column, length, beginning and end. Okay? And additionally, I also want to know when I process one complete row of an image, which is the first segment of that row and which is the last segment of the row. Because those segments are the ones that I'm going to need to decide the connection for the following row. So for example, when I finish this, I should know that the first segment in row 6 is number 7 and the last one is number 9. And the first one in row 7 is number 10 and it's also the last one. Okay? That's what primer segmento and ultimo segmento mean. And then finally, I want to know how many rows actually have segments, which is n-filas, and what is the total number of segments, which is n-segmentos. Okay?
N-filas is also the number of rows or just the number of rows that have segments?
The number of rows that have segments, if I'm not incorrect. Okay, so the algorithm for run length coding will take the image and produce all this information. And then we will process run length coding and then carry out the connectivity analysis. This analysis will result in the blob structure, which tells me there's a mistake in the slides, I've just found it. This is 18 instead of 14, and I will tell you, at least I think so, I'll tell you what it means. So I want to know that in the image that I'm processing, there are 5 blobs. Okay? The first one is of size 4 pixels. First segment of that row is number 0, and the last one is number 2. Okay? So this is the information that I should have of every blob. Blob number 2 is 8 pixels big, large. First segment is number 4 and last segment number 17. So I want to know for every blob what is its size, which is the first segment and which is the last one. Okay? And additionally, I will complete the information on the run length. To each segment, I will additionally say it belongs to this blob because I label it, and the following segment within the same blob is appointed to that segment. Okay, so for example, it says here that blob number 2 starts in segment 4. So segment 4 says, I belong to blob number 2, and the following one is number 7. Number 7 is also blob 2, and the following one is 5. And 5 is number 2, and the following one is 8. And the following one is 6, and the following one is 9, and the following one is 10, 12, will this have an end? 13, 16, 17, and nulo, or minus 1, says last segment of the blob. So all of the segments that belong to the same blob are going to be chained in this structure. Okay? In the following slide, there's a summary of both the run length and the blob structure. So I want to show you how it relates to the image that we were processing. I was saying that blob number 2 is 8 pixels large and starts segment number 4, which is this one. Okay? And segment number 4, the following is number 7. Why is it organized that way? Because I was processing the image like this. So first I said this is a new object, this belongs to this one, and only when I found segment number 10 I realized that these three were the same object. Okay? So I was saying 4, next is 7, next is 5, because what I did at this moment was fuse the lists together into one list because they now belong to the same blob. The next one of 5 is 8. The next one should be 6. 8 is 6. 6 is 9. And the following to 9 should be 10. Okay, this is 10. And then there's also these two groups of segments that belong to this object. Okay? So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 objects in this example, because I'm using 4 connectivity. If I were using 8 connectivity, then I would have 1, 2, and 3. Okay? So this is what run length should produce, and this is what connectivity should produce. Okay? If you have doubts of exactly what to do, then I place this transparency so that you can, in this example, see exactly what the result should be of doing run length coding and then doing connectivity analysis. Okay, so details of the algorithm that you have to implement. This algorithm is conceptually extremely simple. It says process images an image row by row. So for each row, this is what you have to do. From the first segment to the last segment in the row, this is what you have to do. So segment is segment S. Okay? So how do I decide connectivity for this segment? I need to know which blobs from the prior row it touches. That's what blobs que toca means. It's a function that should tell you which blobs this segment is touching. Okay? It tells you how many, and then it tells you an array of how many of the identifiers for each blob. If it touches 0 blobs, then it's a new blob. So we create the segment. We create the blob with the initial segment. If it only touches 1 blob, then we add this segment to that blob. And if it touches more, then this is when we have to fuse all of them and then add the new one. So for all of the blobs in the list, we will fuse them, and then we will add the last segment that we just found that actually helped us decide that they were the same blob, were the same object. Okay? So as you can see, if this is implemented correctly, it does exactly the 3 cases that I was mentioning before. No segments touch, new blob, 1 segment touch, add to the same blob, and more than 1, fuse the blobs. Okay? So what do you have to solve here? You have to decide how to produce the list of blobs that a segment is touching, and then I think that most of creating blobs, adding a segment to a blob, and fuse blobs is already programmed. So basically, you have to do the run length and then do this analysis to see which blobs a certain segment is touching. So let's see some details about that. For the purpose of deciding whether a segment touches a prior blob or not, you can use, I think some of them are already defined in the programs. You can use macros like this, which tells you whether one segment is to the left of another one or not. Okay? So assume that you have to decide that you're using 4 connectivity, and you have to decide whether segment 1 is to the left but not touching segment 2. So that would be this case. Because in this case, this segment is not actually to the left because it's actually touching the other segment in 4 connectivity. So my question is, what is the condition to say that one segment is to the left of another one without touching it in 4 connectivity? That's going to be the conclusion, but how do you know that? What's the condition? What's the condition on the coordinates of the pixels so that one segment is to the left without touching the other segment? Can you talk about rows or columns?
Yeah. X1 of the last pixel in the first and the top one.
This pixel?
Yeah.
Yeah?
It's strictly less than the peak of the other.
So the end of this segment is less than the beginning of the other one? Okay? If it's less than or equal to, then it would be this case. Okay? I guess, I think this is exactly what you said. The end of this segment is less than the beginning of the following. This is true for 4 connectivity, and what about 8 connectivity? So in the case of 8 connectivity, it should be like this. Because if they are like this, they are already touching. Okay, so the definition of what when one is to the left of the other depends on the connectivity that you're using. So what would it be in this case? If in this case is the end is less than the beginning, what would be in the end in this case? This is tricky. I always have to look it back because it's not very simple to see. So it's not enough that the end is less than the beginning because this can happen. The end has to be further away from the beginning. How many places away?
One
more. Okay? So it means that the end plus one has to be less than the beginning. Or if you want, the end has to be less than the beginning minus one, which is exactly the same thing. Okay? So this is something, parts of what you have to decide when you program this. Let's see what else. Okay, so if we define what it means to be to the left without touching, which is what we just said, then if S1 is to the left of S2, what does it mean to be to the right? A simple way of completing that definition is saying S1 is to the right of S2 if S2 is to the left of S1. Okay? And what does it mean that the two are touching? It's not true that one is to the left of the other or one is to the right of the other. Okay? This is the simplest way then in which only defining connectivity for this case, you actually extend it to all of the analysis that you have to do. So in this example, S1 is to the left of S5, S4 is to the right of S5, and S2 and S5 and S3 and S5 actually overlap. Okay? And you can check that with the definitions that have used. There's only a couple of things that are still missing, and it's what do we do in the first row? Because there's no prior row, no row prior to the first. So what do we do in that case? We're always analyzing each segment with respect to the row before. So in the first row, what do? All segments that appear in the first row will always be a new object because they're not touching any prior segment, okay? And what happens if the prior row is empty? It's not the first one. The row that I'm analyzing, it's not the first one, but the prior is completely empty, no segments. It's the same, okay? It's the same as being the first one. All of the segments here will belong to new objects. Okay, so I think that's then essentially all of the ideas behind the algorithm for connectivity that we use. I wanted to mention, finally, a couple of things related to this algorithm. I've explained it to you specifically to carry out connectivity analysis, but one at the same time can do more things simultaneously with the execution of this algorithm. And one thing that's very useful is called the size filter. So size filtering is eliminating from the image all objects that are not of a size that you consider interesting for your application. In the case of the plates, we know that the size of the blobs that are interesting for us are between, I think, 2,000 and 200 and 600 pixels. Okay? So everything that's smaller is probably noise, and everything that's larger is also probably noise. Okay? So in this example, less than 400 pixels, you find all of these blobs. So connectivity will give you these as separate blobs, but all of them have less than 400. And more than 3,000, you will have all of these. Okay? So if you're able, during connectivity, to say at some point, this blob has less than the minimum or more than the maximum, I can just ignore it, erase it completely. And these are the ones that will remain if I do this analysis with these two thresholds, okay? So what I wanted to point out was that I can do this analysis at the same time that I'm doing connectivity analysis. And the reason is, the following. When I'm processing this row, at this point, I found this object, I found this one, and I found another one. And I process this row and decide, okay, this segment belongs to this one, this small segment belongs to this one, and I didn't update in this row this blob at all. As I said at the beginning of this hour, when I finish processing the row, I'm absolutely sure that I will never update this blob again. So I know it's full size, and then I can decide, well, if it's less than the minimum or more than the maximum, then I can eliminate it from further analysis. How do I keep track of the size? It's very simple. I know the length of all the segments that I'm including in the blob. So when I ever update the blob, I can compute or update the size. When I create the blob, initially it's with one segment, so the initial size is the length of the segment. Whenever I add a segment to the blob, I add the length. And when I fuse blobs, I just add the sizes. Okay? So size filtering can be done at the same time that I'm doing this connectivity analysis. And I think there's another... Well, there's basically a limitation of the analysis of the size filter. I wanted to point out that in this and in all applications, you can't solve all the problems with size filtering. So when we did thresholding, I said that you sometimes, no matter which threshold you decided, some pixels would be incorrectly selected as objects and some incorrectly selected as background, and they usually are called salt and pepper noise. So in this example, if this is my binary image and I pass a size filter, this object will survive. Because just by coincidence, I did a segmentation, found this elongated object, and the number of pixels are between 400 and 3,000. So I can't eliminate that blob with the size filter. It will remain. All of the rest will be good ones, but this one will be incorrect. And then if you also, in some cases, take a closer look at the images, you will see that I'm able to eliminate the pepper noise, but not the salt noise, because I'm only analyzing the foreground. So all of these salt, all of the salt noise will remain as part of the blob, and if you can, as you can see, they will subtract area from the blob that I'm analyzing. So I should get rid of that, but I couldn't do it with this analysis. This will also happen. This is a screw in the plate, but it's right next to the letter. So actually, when I did thresholding, it's dark enough to be considered object, and it's connected to the number 6. So actually, by using the size filter, I can't eliminate or get rid of this problem either. So this is just to point out that I can fix some of the problems of thresholding using the size filter, but there are still some problems that will remain, and then we will need in the further processing of these images to do something about these particular situations. I can solve, every time I process an image, I will solve some of the problems and some will remain. And in this case, we will leave this, the solutions to these problems to the next processing that we will do, which is computing the scripture. Okay, I can't, I solve some of thresholding problems, but not all of them. Oh, this was fast. This is, so this is the last that I wanted to tell you about connectivity analysis. Is there any question? Apart from you guys, does anybody have problems with his account or her account in Merlin? Yeah.
So maybe today.
Okay.
We got a password for Merlin.
So you don't know if you have a Merlin account yet? Is that?
We have activated it, but we haven't got the login and the password.
Oh.
That's in the mail and we can't get online.
Aha, that's an interesting problem. Okay, of course, any problem that is not your fault. If you can't submit your practicals on time because of problems that are not your fault, we will extend the deadline until the people that have those problems can solve them and then submit the practicals. Okay? So for the rest that don't have any problems, the deadline for submitting the first practical is today. Or tomorrow? It's tomorrow. Okay. So tomorrow is the deadline normally. Recibí, ya te contesté y lo hice.
Ah, vale, pues no lo he mirado, perdón.
Muy bien, gracias.
Chao. Hola.
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 Hola, Valeria, mensaje.